Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. Your panel this afternoon is, to my right, Justice Bob McCoy. To my left, Justice Bill Meyer. I'm Leanne Dauphineau. And the first case set for oral submission, one of the lawyers appears to be running late, so we appreciate your stepping up and going ahead and arguing your case so everybody doesn't have to just sit around and wait. And since there are only two cases set for oral submission, all the other cases are set for submission on briefs, you may be the whole show. So, if you call the case, please.
The court will now call United Mutual Healthcare Systems et al. Versus Trinity Hardy et al. Mr. Stephen Matson and Ms. Kathy Davis for arguing for appellant and Ms. Paige Page for arguing for appellant.
Your Honors, it's my understanding we have 15 minutes between the appellants. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. I've talked with the other appellant's counsel, and if I could, I hope not to take 10 minutes of the 15, but if I could have a warning at 6 minutes and 8 minutes, would be helpful.
Can y'all do that?
Maybe I better put my watch out here and try to do that myself.
Good idea.
May it please the court. I'm Steve Madsen. I'm here on behalf of Appellant United Regional Healthcare System. Quite briefly, this is a healthcare liability claim filed under Chapter 74 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code. The lawsuit arises out of Mr. Hardy's visit to the United Regional Emergency Room on December 24, 2008. Briefly, Mr. Hardy claims he had appendicitis on the day of his emergency room visit and that the healthcare providers failed to diagnose appendicitis and failed to render proper treatment, causing injuries and damages to Mr. Hardy and his wife. As required by Section 74.351, the Hardys timely served an expert report and CV from a William J. Frazier, M.D. United Regional timely challenged that report, filed objections, and a motion to dismiss. I then conferred with counsel for Appalese, the Hardys, and we entered into an agreed order on the first motion, which basically found or agreed that the report was defective as to causation, but gave Appalese a 30-day extension to try to clean it up with either an amended or a supplemental report. Thereafter, the Hardys did timely serve a supplemental report, another report from Dr. Frazier, very similar in most respects as to United Regional as the original report, with a few differences. United Regional felt that the second report was still defective as to causation and did not meet the statutory requirements. We again filed objections and a motion to dismiss. Those were heard in September of 2011, and by order dated September 15, 2011, the trial court denied the motions to dismiss of both appellants. As the court knows, Section 74.351 provides that a motion challenging an expert report should be granted if the report does not represent an objective good faith effort to comply with the definition of an expert report. United Regional is attacking the expert report on the causation aspect only. In pertinent part, Section 74.351R6, which defines an expert report, requires that the report must provide a fair summary of the expert's opinions as to the causal relationship between the failure to meet the standard of care and the injury claimed. Case law, as set forth in our brief, requires that the report state more than the expert's mere conclusions. The report must explain the basis of the expert's statements to link the conclusions to the facts. This court has held that merely stating expert conclusions about causal relationship is not sufficient. Rather, the expert must explain the basis of his causation statements and link his conclusions to the facts. In fact, the three cases cited by Appalese in their brief in response to United Regional's brief all hold that the expert report must factually explain what should have been done and what happened as a result of the failure to do the things that should have been done. The report should also factually explain what would have happened if the healthcare providers, here nurses, had complied with the standard of care. Appellant asserts that Dr. Fraser's report fails to meet the requirements of the statutes and case law as to the causation aspects of the report. The report is defective, and the Hardy suit against United Regional should be dismissed. Specifically, United Regional claims the report is defective for three reasons with regard to causation. One, the report does not explain how any alleged delay in treatment due to the conduct of the nurses caused injury to Mr. Hardy. Two, Dr. Fraser's report does not provide a chain of causation as to how the nurses' alleged violations of the standard of care caused injury to Mr. Hardy. And thirdly, Dr. Fraser's report does not factually explain how the alleged violations of the standard of care proximately caused injury to Mr. Hardy. All of these things are required to be in the report. Dr. Fraser's report lists the following alleged violations of the standard of care by nurses at United Regional. There was a nurse Christensen and a nurse, I can't even remember the other name, but he's basically pointing at two nurses. In his report, he says the nurses were negligent in failing to question the physician's orders for severe pain medications. The nurses were negligent for not reporting the questionable orders for severe pain medications to a representative at United Regional. The nurses were negligent in not ensuring that protocol for reporting of questionable orders was in place. That the nurses failed to question the order to administer severe pain medications. That the nurses were deficient in observing, acknowledging, questioning, and reporting to the emergency department physician the blood pressure readings. And lastly, that the nurses failed to question the discharge and or were negligent in discharging the patient with these signs, symptoms, readings, and observations. I went through those in detail, Your Honors, because the big deficiency here is, so what? This report never explains what would have happened if the nurses had done any of the things that he says they failed to do. He doesn't say what questioning the physician's orders would have accomplished. He doesn't say what reporting questionable orders would have accomplished, or ensuring that protocol was in place, or what questioning orders for pain medication would have accomplished, and so forth. His statements as to causation never link that up. He says that there was a misdiagnosis of appendicitis that was allowed to fester and develop into an abscess peritonitis with a sigmoid colon perforation. And he says this misdiagnosis, mismanagement clearly led to his near-fatal experience in Utah. Then he says just a number of conclusory things. The failures of the nurses caused a significant delay in proper care and treatment. They caused him to suffer serious and permanent injuries and so on, very conclusory statements. Before I go further, I want to remind the court that we are talking about nurses. And as the court is well aware, nurses are not allowed to diagnose medical conditions, they are not allowed to prescribe treatment for medical conditions, and they are not allowed to either admit or discharge patients from the hospital. Those are solely things that come within the province of medical practice, and only a doctor licensed in the state of Texas is allowed to do those things. Dr. Fraser's report never factually explains how the violations of the standard of care by the nurses caused any change or difference in Mr. Hardy's diagnosis, care and treatment, or his outcome. It also does not factually explain what would have occurred and what Mr. Hardy's outcome would have been if the nurses had complied with the standard of care. And it does not explain how the nurses' care and treatment delayed the care rendered to Mr. Hardy. Your Honor, I could go on and on about this, but I've basically given you the basics of our argument, is that we simply have a list of standard of care violations with no causal link to the ultimate outcome, which appellee's claim was untreated appendicitis, which developed into a serious infection, which worsened, which resulted in an abscess, which then caused a peritonitis or a perforation of the colon. They never say how any of the things the nurses did or did not do caused all of those things to occur. The nurses couldn't diagnose the problem, the nurses couldn't prescribe the treatment, and the nurses could not make the decision on whether to discharge this patient or keep him in the hospital for treatment. I say all that just to simply point out that all we have is allegations, but what would have happened? This report never addresses what would have occurred if they'd have questioned an order, or if they'd have reported findings, or if they'd have talked to the doctor. All of those things should be in the report.
Failing to question discharge. If he hadn't been discharged, certainly, arguably, the appendicitis would not have been allowed to fester and develop into an abscess peritonitis with sigmoid coating preparation, et cetera, throughout his report.
I think, Your Honor, the court, to make that a valid allegation, has to infer what is meant, because the report never says what questioning the discharge would have resulted in, how they would have questioned, to whom they would have questioned, and what would have occurred to prevent this man from being discharged. The report does not address that, and you are not permitted to go beyond the four corners of the report and make any inferences or fill any gaps that aren't there. The case law is quite clear on that. In conclusion, Dr. Frazier's report builds the proverbial bridge to nowhere with regards to causation. There are various violations of the standard of care set forth in the report, but the required basis and factual explanation for his causation opinions are simply not in there. And I'll even point out that I'm inferring here, but I think what he says is this man should have had an appendectomy when he was at United Regional. This report never once says that should have happened. He never factually explains the causation. He never links the negligence of the nurses as a cause of the injuries. The report does not state what would have happened had the nurses complied with the standard of care, and it does not explain how compliance by the nurses would have caused a different outcome for this man.
So, with actuality, he says, then in all likelihood, he would have undergone an appendectomy on December 24, 2008, or soon thereafter.
All right, sir. I'm sorry. I forgot that, and I apologize. No, I stand corrected. But I still don't think that gets them there, Your Honor, because how was that appendectomy supposed to come about? Simply by questioning the discharge? I think not. Again, he just does not factually explain this. And another thing is, if his position is an appendectomy would have been necessary, well, this man ultimately had an appendectomy. And this report does not address what problems this man was going to have simply by having appendicitis when he came into the ER, irrespective of the care rendered, and the problems he ultimately had. This report doesn't rule out the presence of an infection, it doesn't rule out an abscess, and it doesn't tell us at what point in time this had to be dealt with to prevent all these injuries which Dr. Frazier claims occurred. Based on that argument, we feel the report is defective. It does not constitute an objective good faith effort to comply with the statute with regard to causation. This man had two opportunities to try to cure the defect in causation and never did it. And consequently, we feel that the trial court's order denying our motion to dismiss should be reversed, and an order should be entered by this court dismissing the plaintiff's case or the appellee's case against United Regional with prejudice. I failed to request in our prayer in the brief, but we do have a claim for attorney fees, and I would request that the appellate court, if they are inclined to reverse, remand the case for a hearing and prove up on our attorney fees. Thank you.
Let's see how fast I can talk. May it please the court. May it please the court. Very briefly, I have an additional issue. I have additional arguments on the conclusory nature of the causation opinion, but I'd like to start first with whether or not the plaintiff's, the appellee's expert was qualified to render the causation opinion that he rendered in this case. I would direct your, I'm just going to try to cut through and piece it together for you very quickly. I would direct your honor's attention to the holding of Brothers versus Heiss, which is very similar to this case. It was a case involving emergency room care where an emergency room doctor attended to give neurosurgical opinions. And though he testified that he had some experience dealing with head injuries and dealing with neurosurgical opinions, the Supreme Court ultimately found that though he was qualified to testify about the standard of care for the defendant emergency room doctor, he was not qualified to take that leap and testify with regard to what neurosurgical care would or should or could have been performed and how that neurosurgical care could have avoided the adverse effect on the patient, how the injuries could have been avoided by that care. That is this case. We have an emergency room physician that I have not challenged on his qualifications to render opinions on standard of care. I represent Dr. Meyer, who's an emergency room physician. However, he goes beyond providing just emergency medicine opinions in his report. He provides general surgery opinions, which Justice McCoy pointed out, with regard to whether or not a appendectomy would have been performed if the patient had been admitted. That is clearly outside of his area of expertise. He carefully and repeatedly throughout his report indicated that he was familiar with the standards for emergency medical care. The fact that he did a residency training program in general surgery back in the 1960s does not qualify him to give opinions with regard to what surgical care would have been indicated, whether or not it would have been done, and whether or not that surgical care would have prevented the injuries. Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm Paige Pace. I represent the plaintiffs in this case. And I want to just briefly start out by pointing out that, as this court is well aware, the report does not have to meet the same requirements as a summary judgment or a trial. Rather, the report merely has to demonstrate a good faith effort to comply with the definition of an expert report and must discuss the standard of care, the breach, and the causation. Dr. Frazier's report did in fact do all of those things. The standard of review is abuse of discretion. Judge Brotherton in Wichita Falls did not abuse his discretion in finding that this report was adequate on all of these elements. Dr. Frazier is in fact qualified, and I'll address that very briefly since that's what Ms. Bailey has just finished with. In fact, I find it very interesting because Judge McCoy authored the opinion of the Thiel case in which that expert emergency room physician recommended or said that surgery was called for and a surgical consult was called for in an appendectomy. I believe it was appendectomy. It was some emergency surgical procedure when the patient came to the emergency room. That was part of that expert's opinion. And yet this court found that the doctor, Dr. Spangler, was fully qualified as an emergency room physician to talk about that condition. And Dr. Frazier is fully qualified to talk about the condition of appendicitis and what treatment would be necessary. Dr. Frazier's not saying, I want the patient to come in and this is the way that he should be opened up and this is the way the surgery should be carried out. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the proper treatment for appendicitis, acute appendicitis, which is what this man had, would be an emergency appendectomy, not how the appendectomy should be performed. Dr. Frazier practiced medicine at the time that this claim arose. He's practiced medicine, emergency room medicine, for 23 years. He's practiced medicine in the state of Texas since 1969. He goes into great detail about the number of cases of appendectomies or appendicitis that he treats in a weekly and a monthly basis. And it's a lot. There are a lot of people that come to the emergency room for treatment of acute appendicitis. So there's no question but that Dr. Frazier is eminently qualified to render the opinions that he rendered in his report. Now, moving on to the questions that the appellants have raised as to whether or not this report is sufficient as the standard of care, I'll refer this court to two fairly recent opinions from this court, and that is by Justice Dofano in the Garcia case in just February of 2011. In that case, the court considered a situation in which the expert said that there was a tumor that was operable in 1999, but now, because the tumor had grown, it was inoperable. That's basically what we have here. Here, the Dr. Frazier opined that the appendectomy could have and should have been performed when Mr. Hardy presented to the emergency room at United Regional Healthcare System. But because it was not performed, infection resulted, peritonitis resulted, and Mr. Hardy's bowel was perforated as a result of the delay. So we have misdiagnosis. Misdiagnosis caused delay. Delay caused infection, abscess, peritonitis, and extensive surgical procedures that were made necessary as a result of the delay and the failure of the doctor and the nurses to diagnose this. I'm going to refer to these arguments basically the same as to Dr. Meyer and to the nurses, because in his report, Dr. Frazier says that the delay in the diagnosis was, yes, a result of Dr. Meyer's failure to make the all of the different observations that he should have made based upon the presentation of the patient. And those are all set forth on page 54 of the record. Those are the extensive things that Dr. Meyer failed to do, which led to the failure to diagnose. Then Dr. Frazier states on his report, page 55 of the record, page 8 of his report, that the delay caused injuries to Mr. Hardy. Then he says, as discussed below. And then below, he says that these injuries were the misdiagnosis of appendicitis that allowed the infection to fester and develop into an abscess, peritonitis, with sigmoid colon perforation. So it's all stated in that, on that page. Now, it is talked about, each of those elements are talked about a little bit more and a little bit extensively in each of their paragraphs. But if you take the first statement, which was that there was a delay in a misdiagnosis, then we've got specifically stating that that resulted in a delay. The delay resulted in the infection, the peritonitis, the abscess, the sigmoid colon perforation. So it's all there. And it's all there as to the nurses, too. And that's on page 60 of the record and page 13 of Dr. Frazier's report. Again, and in fact, let me point out that all the damages that Mr. Hardy suffered as a result of this delay are set forth at the top of page 13 of his report, the top of page 60 of the record. And those are extensive injuries and damages that he sustained, which Dr. Frazier, throughout his report, says that the serious injuries and damages that Mr. Hardy sustained were a result of the misdiagnosis and the failure to treat him properly at that time and the delay in the treatment of Mr. Hardy. Those are all set forth there. But as to the nurses on page 60, we have, again, we have Dr. Frazier stating all the things that they did not do, including the discharging of Mr. Hardy when his blood pressure was so low There are a number of things that should have alerted the nurses that something's wrong here. And that's nursing care. I'm not talking about doctor care and physician care, but nurses have a responsibility too. And Dr. Frazier repeatedly says throughout his report that he's worked with, trained, and given guidance to all emergency room personnel. So he's fully capable of testifying as to these nurses. And in fact, he did testify as to them. And he said there's like five things these nurses didn't do that that a red flag should have been raised immediately. And it wasn't. So they ignored these signs and symptoms of appendicitis that was were within the purview of their nursing care and their knowledge and education as nurses to be able to see something's going on here, something's wrong. This huge drop in blood pressure right before he's discharged, which is an indication of sepsis, and Dr. Frazier says that. So what he says is that those things and their failure to see these red flags caused and their failure to report these things to the doctor or to somebody at the hospital in all likelihood caused a misdiagnosis and contributed to a misdiagnosis of appendicitis, which in turn contributed or caused the delay in the treatment and therefore the resulting damages, again, the infection, the peritonitis, the extensive surgery he had to have, and the perforated bowel. The appellants rely upon the Astoric case, and I'd like to just discuss that for just a moment. In that case, which this court considered, and again, that was Judge Dofano, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I spelled it out phonetically on the front page of my pad here. In that case, the report, this court noted, did not explain the basis of his opinions, the expert's opinions as to causation. Rather, it left gaps as to and did not explain how or why the doctor's failure to consult a gynecologist caused the worsening of the condition. That expert only stated that the standard of care, that if the standard of care had been followed, that there would not have been a delayed diagnosis, but he didn't explain how the injuries would not have occurred if the defendants had obtained the consults. To the contrary, Your Honors, in this case, Dr. Frazier explains that if Mr. Hardy had been diagnosed, treated, if the proper consults had been obtained, if the proper testing had been done, the plaintiff would have had an appendectomy, as Judge McCoy pointed out, on December the 24th. That's specifically stated in Dr. Frazier's report. The appendectomy would have prevented the infection, would have prevented the delayed healing, would have prevented the abscess formation, and would have prevented the colon perforation. So that's the difference in the Astoric case. In this case, Dr. Frazier does not leave any gaps. Dr. Frazier explains why and how a delay in diagnosis of appendicitis will in fact cause infection and will in fact cause delayed healing and colon perforation, which it did in this case. In the Thiel case also that I mentioned earlier, Judge McCoy wrote about the expert in that case on page 272 of the opinion. And this court held that information was sufficient by the doctor's report to inform the trial judge, of the specific conduct called into question and how that purportedly injured the plaintiff by providing a basis for the trial court to conclude that the claims were meritorious. The first way that that was done by that expert, according to this court, was linking the breaches of the standard of care, i.e. the failure to conduct a proper workup. That led to misdiagnosis. That led to failure to send to the hospital or to a surgical consult. This court said that that link of the breaches of the standard of care was linked to Thiel's injury by the expert. The way it was linked was that that expert said that in reasonable medical care, the failure to properly diagnose the appendicitis resulted in delayed diagnosis of appendicitis, during which time the rupturing and the spilling of bacteria occurred. That is exactly what we have here. Dr. Frazier said, he gave replete references and specific information as to all the things that Dr. Meyer did wrong, all the things the nurses did wrong. Then he said that those breaches of the standard of care were directly linked to a failure to do certain things, i.e. a failure to prevent discharge, a failure to report these findings, these concerns to the doctor, a failure by Dr. Meyer to recognize a textbook case of appendicitis. So failing to conduct all of the things he should have done, then also failing to send to the hospital or for a surgical consultation right away. And then finally, those things by Dr. Frazier, as the expert did in Thiel, were linked to Mr. Hardy's injury, i.e. the failure to diagnose the appendicitis and the failure to properly get the right treatment for that resulted in a delay. The delay resulted in all of these resulting damages to Mr. Hardy. It is clearly set forth, therefore, Your Honors, the standard of care, how that was breached, that's very clear as to the doctors and the nurses. And then that those breaches caused a delay, significant delay, 5 to 6 days. And the significant delay caused all of the damages that have resulted to Mr. Hardy and that are reflected by Dr. Frazier in his report. Certainly, sir.
Properly diagnose and perform an appendectomy immediately. And I think the problem is there's not something in either connecting the failure of the nurses to question the doctor's orders would have caused something else to happen, would have caused the doctor to rethink, would have caused the doctor to do further testing. You're just saying they failed to do these things, and their problem is, as I see it, you aren't connecting that to the good doctor then performing an emergency appendectomy and cutting off all these problems.
Just keep your hands to
I see your point, Your Honor, and my response to that would be that no, a nurse can't go grab a patient and perform an appendectomy, but that doesn't mean that a nurse can't contribute by their own acts and their own inadequate nursing care to the fact that an appendectomy was not performed. The nurses did not call to attention of the physician or to anyone else. Perhaps they could have gone to someone else besides Dr. Meyer, gone to someone in hospital administration, gone to the head of nurses. But had the sepsis been pointed out, I mean, the low blood pressure, the extremely low blood pressure, and the dramatic drop in blood pressure resulting in the very low blood pressure at the end when he was discharged, that should have told them that there was a probability of sepsis. And if that was never brought to the doctor's attention. So even another thing, those are responsibilities of the nurses. That's the responsibility they have to a patient, is to report unusual findings.
Are you saying during the
No, Your Honor. I certainly am not. I'm saying that that's another aspect of something that was wrong. There's about 10 to 15 things that pointed to emergency appendectomy in this case. Several that the doctor would or should have known about, and several that the nurses did and should have known about. So no, I'm not saying either one of the two. I'm saying that they're cumulative. They both share responsibility, or they both had individual responsibilities to care for this patient. Dr. Meyer from a medical professional viewpoint, and the nurses from a nursing care perspective. Thank you.
Just a brief clarification of my previous misstatement. I found the part of the report which mentions performing an appendectomy on December 24th, 2008, but I would like to point out to the court that there it's talking about Dr. Meyer's negligence and what that caused. There is no mention of an appendectomy in that portion of the report that pertains to what the alleged negligence of the United Regional Nurses caused. Your Honor, and I think that I'm entitled to have a complete report as to the nurses, just as Dr. Meyer is entitled to have a complete report as to him and his conduct.
I guess I'm having trouble understanding how this is not a good place effort to give a full report that would apply to both circumstances. And what your intention is that you can have any of this information lap over from what's been said in the report, and then attributed only to the doctor, and then attributed to the nurses, and do believe that that's got to be totally categorized off in the nurse section as a different and separate statement as far as the nurse's conduct whenever we would look at an overall result of the fact that what happened here is it failed to recognize a classic case of appendicitis.
Your Honor, you're correct. It is a technical argument that I'm making that, but I would also point out that the standard of care allegations against our nurses are still not linked up to how that would have resulted in an appendectomy. Much the same kind of question as Judge McCoy was asking a few moments ago.
And I thank you for responding.
Thank you.
Very quickly, Your Honors, on the qualification issue in the Astorque case that you in the last few years ruled on, the expert in that case actually did include in his expert report that he was familiar both with the standard of care and with the causation link related to the breaches of the standard of care and the injuries. Dr. Frazier did not do that in this case. I would also like to point out that when you review Dr. Frazier's report, nowhere in it does he opine that either Dr. Myers or the nurses at the hospital failed to diagnose appendicitis. His criticism is that the care and treatment at issue led to a delay in the diagnosis. So when counsel for Appley got up here and argued that he's linked all of his criticisms of the standard of care to the causation opinion that we failed to diagnose appendicitis, that's not in his report, period. It's simply not there. It is important to note that as to Dr. Meyer, Dr. Frazier set forth various criticisms, breaches of the standard of care. He never specifically link those in any way to the injuries in this case. Not once did he do that. He opined that Dr. Meyer could have ordered a CT scan and or a blood culture and or a urine culture. Which one was required by the standard of care? One or all three? What would they have shown? Nowhere in his report does he indicate what any of those tests would have shown. So he makes a jump from these are the breaches to I'm going to make this assumption about what a surgeon would do, which I'm not qualified to render anyway. And so for that reason, Your Honors, it's our opinion that Dr. Frazier's report did not meet the statutory requirements, was not a good faith effort, and that the trial court's denial of Dr. Meyer's motion to dismiss should be reversed, and judgment should be entered for Dr. Myers, or in the alternative, it should be reversed and remanded so that the trial court can determine whether his report was a good faith effort. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your argument. Your case is submitted, and it's been very helpful. Thank you very much. You're excused. You may either sit around and watch the next argument or go about your business.